I'll be reading the scripture from Peterson. On Thursday, during the lectionary study, I told the pastor, I hope Paul in this section was using boilerplate statements because he didn't even know me. That's a joke. In all of Paul's letters, I read in a student study Bible, he includes four things. One is a greeting. Two is a prayer. Three is some doctrine. And four is some practical application. I encourage you to try to figure out in chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, what's included in that. He is your life. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes on the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up, be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things in His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that old way of living, that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff, not knowing any better, but now you know better. Make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, and dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you have stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized, uncouth, slave, free, they mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Amen.
I thank our brother in Christ for helping us to continue to be open to God at work. And I love when he reads from the message as well. Join with me in prayer. Loving God, God of grace, thank you for filling us, for speaking into our lives. Help us to be aware of your presence. Help us to listen. Help us to be open, to be stretched. Thank you for your love through it all. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Reverend Susan Sparks tells this story. She and her husband were getting away for a while, and they went to a cabin in Wisconsin. And it was up north, and they were getting away just to be able to spend some time together. And so that first morning, they had a breakfast of cheese eggs, it was Wisconsin after all, and also sunfish, okay, that they had just caught, okay? Kind of an interesting breakfast. I've never had a breakfast like that, but sounds okay. Well, after the breakfast, they cleaned up and they put the eggs and the rest of the fish carcass bones in the garbage inside the cabin. And then they left for 2 hours. It was 97 degrees outside, and there was no air conditioning in the cabin. Imagine with me now the odor that greeted them whenever they got back home. Well, immediately they were thankful for something that was in the back, behind their cabin, something that maybe some of you have used before, called a compost pile. Anybody ever used one of those? Yeah, absolutely. And a compost pile is something that you can go ahead and put pretty much anything in. You know, this is what Reverend Sparks said. Ah, maybe you've never heard something like this before. Ah, God blesses compost piles. Have you ever thought about that? A place where you can dump things. A place where you can dump anything and just leave it there. Whatever garbage, whatever trash you have, that mulch pile, that compost pile, whatever you call it, from smelly fish carcasses and eggshells, it's transformed into this rich, dark soil that gives life to anything that it's put on. Amazing, isn't it? From trash, from something that's just thrown out, from garbage, new life springs forward. Can anyone say resurrection? Later, while fumigating the house, Reverend Sparks says, I couldn't help but think of our scripture in Colossians 3. Who knew the Apostle Paul was a gardener? Get rid of all such things. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth, which is, of course, trash. And clothe yourself in something new. You know, I can remember also growing up, and I think we're all understanding that we are in a constant process of growing up, all of us. But growing up, playing outside, and sometimes I would be playing outside with my friends and it was muddy or it was wet on the ground. And you certainly, once you saw the walking human mud pile walking to you, didn't want to hug that thing, I'm sure. And my mom gave me specific instructions. Don't come in the front door. Don't you dare go to the basin and strip off and take off everything. All of those muddy clothes, just take it all off and leave it there. For us, we think about sometimes in our lives when we felt like we've been walking around all muddied, dirty, smelly, whatever image you want to conjure. And we wonder, you know, would anybody really want to give us a hug right then? Would that be particularly appealing? Would that be a real sign, a sacrifice on the part of the other person? Let me share something with you. God never wants us to just remain in that state. God seeks to clothe us new, stripping away all the mud in our lives, stripping away all the trash, putting it on that compost pile where the cross is as well, and creating something new. To the early church, to the modern day church, we are called to understand this reality. God is doing something new in us. Now, we may not necessarily feel brand new. We may not necessarily even think that God loves us. And that's a sad thing. Because God loves all of His creation and all of His children. And God is at work in each and every one of our lives. Sometimes it's kind of difficult to remember that, isn't it? I mean, we think, well, if God is at work in my life, how, and in this way, and in a powerful way, in a way of intimacy, how could he have that much energy or attention to show in so-and-so's life? Or the other way around. If God's at work in so-and-so's life, fill in the blank, in such a way of intimacy and power and seeming to just pour out all of God's grace and all of his love and surrounding that person and kind of reclaiming that life, how in the world would he have anything left over for me? Well, thank God, God is not defined by our understandings of him, because God is endless in his love. God is endless in his grace. And God never tires of working in our lives. All we need to do is turn back and say, here I am. Be at work. Now, there are going to be challenges, because you're going to have to put aside some things. And Paul gives us that list, doesn't he? You're going to have to put aside some of these things that are named here. You're going to have to put aside passion and evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. Whenever we're greedy, whenever we want to gather more and more things, it's about accumulating things, isn't it? And then it's about worshiping that particular thing. You know, Judy and I purchased a used vehicle one time from an individual, and we went into his garage, okay, where this car was. And I want to tell you what, I would not have mind living in that garage. It was so clean. It was pristine, in fact. And then we looked at this car, and it was a used vehicle. But there was actually some sort of oil that he had put on the vehicle to protect the paint. And I thought to myself, how in the world is he ever going to allow schmucks like us to buy this piece of art from him? But you see, it had almost been worshipped. There had been literally so much attention poured into that. It had become an idol for him. Other things that Paul talks about here, and he's very clear. You got to get rid of these things. You got to put these things on the compost pile, okay? You got to take them out. You got to take them out of your house here, your house. You got to put them outside on the compost pile. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Is that challenging sometimes? Absolutely. Are we going to find ourselves in situations where maybe something slips? Absolutely. Will it happen whenever we're driving around Yuma? Absolutely. In Fry's, Walmart, just trying to get out of the parking lot. You may be tempted and say, okay, Lord, I'm trying to put this on the compost pile, but I surely want to say it. Just call him beloved. Remember, that's the term to use instead of something else. Whenever you start thinking about something else to say to someone that might be a little bit nasty, just say beloved. You can say it in whatever word, whatever way you want, beloved. So you hand all of that over. Okay, you hand all of that over. And then will you have to hand it over again? Yeah, absolutely. This is not something that happens just once. But this is something that happens in us as God continues to create something new in us as well. And I want to point out something also, that whenever Paul uses this particular word, therefore, what that means is that God is not going to stop working, okay? And it's not just something that we do in our own power. This struggle to be a new creation, this struggle to pay attention to God in our lives, this struggle to trust God and to follow God is not something that we do on our own power. It's something that God helps us with and is always at work in us. Remember that. You are not alone. God is the starting point. It's the power at work in you, creating something new, strengthening you, filling you with his power. It's a story of a brother in Christ who truly understands the power of that one word, therefore. that God is never through with us, in other words, that God is never finished. Alan Tibbles is a resident of Sandtown, a low-income neighborhood on Baltimore's west side. Sandtown is a 72-square-block area known most for its open drug traffic, high crime rate, and until recent years, derelict housing. In 1987, Tibbles and his family moved into this community. His purpose was to begin the long journey of becoming a permanent neighbor to people in need and to begin the serious project of community development. This would mean rebuilding rundown housing stock, creating safe daycare programs, and offering basic health care to local residents. What made Tibbles' remarkable string of community development successes really unique is the fact that he's a quadriplegic, injured in a basketball game while he was a younger man. When asked in an interview how he sustains his purpose and drive in life, especially given the constraints of his disability, Tibbles turned immediately to his favorite verse and word in the New Testament. At the end of 1 Corinthians 15, another place where Paul uses therefore, right after the Apostle Paul has made his case for the veracity of the resurrection, he writes, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Paul's "therefore" is Alan Tibbles' favorite word in the New Testament. It signals a new power or condition that is available to us, thanks to the resurrection of Christ. In Tibbles' case, this therefore inspires him to pursue all sorts of challenging goals in spite of his physical adversity. If, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and we know that he has, therefore, new expectations are placed upon each of us here. Therefore, new possibilities become accessible to each and every one of us here. And therefore, new capabilities are given to each and every one here. How is God, therefore, creating in you, filling you with strength, power to do what lies ahead? How is God inviting you to take out the trash, to put it on the compost pile and say, "Therefore, now I'm going to do something new, creating in you"? I'd ask the communion stewards to come forward at this time. And communion this morning, which all are welcome to receive, is an opportunity for us to remember that God is doing a new thing in us and will continue to do a new thing in us. Communion reminds us of that word, "therefore." God is not finished with us yet. Therefore, God is doing a new thing in our lives. When Jesus gathered with his disciples and he offered the elements of communion, he broke the bread, he offered to them and said, "This is my body given for you, broken for you. As you receive this, you are part of the body as well. You're forgiven. You're loved. My Father is doing a new thing in you." The body of Christ, broken for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, he poured out the cup. And he shared extraordinary words, saying, "This is not simply wine to quench your thirst, this is my blood. A reminder of forgiveness. So that as your trash is taken up and put on the compost pile, know that it's received at the cross as well. It's a sacrifice. You never have to pick it up again. God receives all that we offer to Him. God receives everything that we offer to Him. You are forgiven. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is an open table. After the communion stewards have received these offerings of grace, you will be directed to come forward by the ushers. You're welcome.